I love these guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. I'm here with my great friend, John Drennan. I'm Bill Radford. If you want to check us out, it's the SHLpodcast.com. SHL stands for Secondhand Lions, and we're here to talk about the improbable win over the Giants yesterday and looking forward to the traditional Thanksgiving contest this year between the Lions and the Packers. So I'll start off with just talking about Jahmyr Gibbs. What a phenomenal game that was. 220 yards rushing and 69 yard to the house on the first play of overtime. He was amazing. And it takes me back to when the Lions picked him. Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell in the draft room. I remember seeing a video of this. And whoever was choosing number 11, I don't remember who that was, when they didn't pick Gibbs, Holmes and Campbell were giddy. They started high-fiving and cheering because they knew what they had. And then the supposed experts like Mel Kiper and his lot were commenting that they reached for Gibbs. Now, if you did the draft over, he would probably be 1, 2, or 3. But he was phenomenal yesterday. He's been phenomenal all year long. And it was just amazing to watch him. Also, our field goal kicker, Bates, really came through. 59-yard field goal to tie the game. And the punter, Fox, kept the Giants pinned down deep most of the game. And I was glad to see that Dan Campbell didn't go for it once on fourth down. So those are my opening comments. John, let's hear what you have to say.
Well, Bill, I got to say, as Fox kept pinning them inside the 10 and the 20, I was thinking, what if we'd have done that against the Eagles every time?
Yeah, but we'd have won the game.
Yeah, but it's easy to look in that rearview mirror. But, man, improbable. That was a good word you used. What a win. I remember late in that fourth quarter with all the developments in that game, I'm thinking the Giants are either destined to win this game or the Lions are destined to have some kind of miraculous finish and win, because it just felt weird. And you mentioned the Gibbs draft. You know, a lot of these experts, I think you're as much an expert as they are. You mentioned Mel Kiper, but so many people thought Gibbs was a bad draft pick at that point, number 12 in that year's draft. But you're right, what a great pick, and what an absolutely amazing game. And, you know, Bill, the amazing thing about the NFL, it was just a few games ago that Gibbs rushed for, I think, was 35 yards. And the big question was, where was he? What happened? And I think that leads me into some of my comments, Bill. I want to make some general comments. Actually, that I found my confidence in the Lions shaken more this game than any time in the season. You know, all year long, I've been talking about this roster, these coaches, and I somewhat downplayed the rebuilding of the O-line. I somewhat downplayed the change in coordinators, somewhat downplayed that they didn't add another edge rusher. But I tell you, I think the offensive line's got real hurdles. Let me say this. I think the Lions have lost their mojo to some extent, kind of that magic that we could see and feel. And if that's the case, I think, A, they have to get it back to be a playoff contender. But, B, there's no better time to get that mojo back than Thursday, Thanksgiving, playing the Packers. That's a game, Bill, I've said since the first game of the year, I was excited and couldn't wait for, because I wanted to exact some payback on Green Bay. And I think that's going to happen. We'll get to Green Bay in a minute. I got a lot of comments that I haven't even gotten to, but those are some initial comments. You talked about the two really great things, I thought, Gibbs and then Bates' 59-yard field goal. How about some of the problems that we experienced this game?
Well, one problem is the defensive line until the last play of the game did not get to Winston. So kudos to him. He was able to step out a couple of them. One time he was in the grasp of two of them and he wriggled out. I mean, he's a big, strong guy. And he was the number one draft pick in 2015. So he's got a lot of talent. But he didn't get sacked. He didn't get pressured all that much. And he was able to find basically open receivers most of the game. And sometimes they just made great catches. There were two or three plays where they just made phenomenal catches, which you juxtapose that against Amon St. Brown, who statistically had a fabulous game, but he dropped two that were right there. And one of them ended a really good drive by the Lions. They'd start, I think, on their own 10 or near that. They'd gone all the way down. I think they were inside the 20 or close to it. And Goff hit him right in the hands and he didn't catch it. And it deflected and the Giants intercepted it. And that killed a drive that would have been points for sure, at least three, and possibly seven. And I don't know what's going on with him. He corrected it the rest of the game, but he has been dropping passes that he never dropped before.
No, you're right about that. And who's to know? We just hope that trend shifts as it seemed to somewhat in this game. The other thing, Bill Jamo went missing again. He had one drop or two. I think he was only targeted three times, and I don't believe he had a catch. So that was a bit of a mystery. I think at one point he got kind of a pitch. I know I've been texting you nonstop during these games. Get it to Jamo, pitch it, hand it off, have him take the snap, give him a short slant, do something to get the ball in his hands because he is also electric and they're just not doing that.
Well, he had one play, John, where he gained, I think it was about 30 yards, and it was called back for illegal man downfield. And I have to tell
Right.
you, that penalty is so wishy-washy in the NFL. I've seen so many plays where the linemen are 3, 4, 5 yards downfield, and it's not called, and that was called when one of our linemen was about a yard and a half downfield, and you're not supposed to be more than a yard. So that was unfortunate because he was on his way, and it was a really good gain, and I think we ended up having to punt. But you're right, they don't use him enough, or he's not getting open enough, or Goff is, I think he when he's feeling stress. His go-to guy is St. Brown. And, he had a nice game. I think he had 9 or 10 catches for over 100 yards. But he's going to have to stop those drops.
You
And
know,
where is
Bill, you mentioned
Tesla?
going. What's
Where is
that?
Tesla? Tesla is a non-factor.
Yeah, he had a target that last drive and it came up short. Now, the announcer mentioned pressure. That might be why it came up short, or Tesla might not have cut the route to where Goff threw the ball. We don't know, but I'd like to see more of him. And I'll tell you, Bill, I mentioned my concern for the offensive line. They seem good on the run, but pass protection is still an issue. And with Green Bay coming up, talking about things to clean up, that's one thing. Secondly, early in the year, I was talking about Brian Branch, one of the top two safeties in the league, and what an awesome player. But I'm starting to be annoyed, as is the entire fan base, how he's getting a, personal foul every game, another helmet to helmet. And I've always defended player, a lot of those plays are happening so fast, and how do you adjust when you're running full speed? You don't know what the ball carrier is going to do. Sometimes you just can't prevent it. But for him, it's like a every week situation. So another 15-yard penalty there. And I mean, I don't know what they'll do to clean it up, but I feel like they have to. You know, the defense gave up two trick plays for touchdowns, which kudos to the Giants for pulling that off. But this combination of, and you said it, Bill, lack of pressure from the defensive line makes it impossible for the D-backs to cover even these second-rate receivers that all look like all pros. You know, the defense gave up 517 yards and all those passing yards, but you got to pressure the quarterback. So there's a lot to work on. What else you got?
Well, Campbell says keeps talking about cleaning it up. They need to call somebody to clean it up because they're talking about that every week. We have a few things to clean up, and we will. But it seems like they don't clean it up, and I feel bad for Branch because on that play he broke up the pass, stopped. It was an incompletion. I mean, if he hits the guy 5 or 6 inches lower, he doesn't hit his helmet. I don't think they call it, but it's gotten to the point in the NFL now where if you hit a guy too hard, you get a penalty. And there's some that was helmet to helmet, so it was justified, but some of that is just unnecessary, I think. But you're right about the line, the defensive line. I mean, they sacked didn't they sack Hurts a bunch of times, and they sacked somebody else, I forget now, 5 times.
I think
And
Hurts was just 1.5 sacks. But yeah, there was somebody before that.
well, they had a lot of pressure. I think they sacked McCarthy a few times, but for you mentioned 518 yards, to only score 27 points on 518 yards is pretty good. I mean, that's 5 times down the field with 18 yards left over. So.
Yeah, and Bill, so many of the Giants plays, I'm thinking, that's why I was thinking maybe it was they were divinely going to win the game because they were such unlikely plays. Let me go through this real quick. On the last drive prior to the overtime, the Giants, at 8 minutes and 20 seconds, they have 3rd and 10, and it's looking good. That's when Winston threw it from his end zone, looked like a lob. Like it could have been picked off. No, it was completed at the 38-yard line. First down. Then at 5 minutes 36 seconds, or I'm sorry, 6 minutes 40 seconds, they're at 3rd and 6. Incomplete pass. Brian Branch gets called for that penalty where his hand reached out and grabbed the thigh of the receiver. But, you know, that happens every play. That even the announcers said, you know, I've seen worse. They questioned the call. But then, Bill, the mind blower, 5:36 to go, 3rd and 17. It looked like we've got Winston sacked. He
Yeah.
steps out of it, cuts to his left, throws a ball 40 yards in the air, completed to the Giants 19. Now, at
Oh,
that
man.
point, we're going, they're going to score a TD, and we are in big trouble. What do? They gain 1 yard on a run. Had a loss of 3, threw an incomplete, and not in that order, by the way. They had a gain of 1, then an incomplete, then a loss of 3. What do? Give us a gift. They go for it on 4th and 5, incomplete pass, allowing us to tie it with that field goal. So that was a gift. And you know, Bill, that the Giants up till yesterday, and by the way, we're recording this the day after, which I should have said up front because we haven't had a chance to process all this, but it is Monday, the week of Thanksgiving. And up until yesterday's game, Bill, the Giants had leads in the fourth quarter four times where they lost the game. So yesterday was number five. So I don't know. Maybe the coach said we're supposed to lose. Let's go for it and not kick the field goal. But
Yeah, well, if he goes for it and they score, then he's a hero.
yep.
I really think he was looking at the clock, thinking 2:53 is when the Lions got the ball back, and he's thinking if we kick a field goal, they're gonna get the ball on probably their own 30 or better, and so they're gonna have to go 65, 70 yards for a touchdown with 2.5 minutes, which is plenty of time.
Right.
So he's trying to win the game on that play. And fortunately for the Lions, they didn't get it.
And Bill, he's not only trying to win the play, he's trying to win the head coaching job. Maybe thinking, we score here, I'm a strong candidate.
Yeah, that's true as well. But there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want that job. I've heard names like Bill Belichick coming back to the Giants from Carolina. He's denied it, but those kind of denials are taken with a grain of salt.
Right.
Anyway, you want to talk about the Packers?
Yeah, just a couple more things from the Giants. First, I want to make sure everybody saw, and if not, go back to the Gibbs 69-yard touchdown run in overtime. After Gibbs cuts through and gets past the initial line and past Penei Sewell's block, Penei Sewell turns, sees Gibbs running, puts up his hand showing the touchdown. He knew. And Gibbs still had 50 plus yards to run, but that was just kind of hilarious.
That was fun.
I want to make these points, Bill. Lions had 9 penalties for 81 yards. That's one thing they absolutely have to clean up. Special teams were very good in this game, so kudos to that. The stadium was so loud during that overtime. And kudos to the fans because there was a lot of booing prior to that. We obviously missed Sam Laporta big time, so we got a challenge with tight end position going forward. The play calling to me lacked again in many ways. And then finally, I want to give kudos because Hutch has given so much attention for the last play of the game sack as he deserves. But Aleem McNeil just bull rushed his guy into Jameis Winston, causing Winston to have to cut in, and that's when Hutch got him. So to me, that was McNeil and Hutch, and love seeing those two guys kind of finishing it off. So I just wanted to get in those comments. And so, Bill, in regard to Green Bay, I've been saying since that very first game, I can't wait to Thanksgiving. I want payback. I think the Lions will. And as I said earlier, I've got some real loss of confidence in the Lions. But if you're a Green Bay fan, I think you're thinking the same. Wins they've had lately, they've won barely. Their offense seems to be in shambles. They've had a lot of injuries. They're great tight ends out for the year. They've got their share of struggles. But I tell you, Micah Parsons has been a game wrecker, and their defense is very good. So, what are your thoughts on Turkey Day?
Well, I don't like playing the Packers on Thanksgiving because historically it hasn't gone well for us. 2 years ago, we played them on Thanksgiving and lost. The year we went 12-5, but I'm hopeful. I don't think they're as good as people expected them to be at the beginning of the year. I'm just looking at their stats for. Parsons had two sacks on Sunday against Minnesota. But they give up a lot of sacks. They gave up a lot of sacks to Detroit when they beat us. Yeah, I'm with you. It's like the Bill Parcells thing. You are who what your record says you are. And they're 7-4. And in my mind, they should be 9-2. They should not
You're
have
talking
lost.
about the Lions, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They're 7-4. I think they should be 9-2. They lost to the Vikings, which they should never have done.
Right.
And I think, like you mentioned, if they would have punted the ball on those fourth downs against the Eagles in that horrible weather day, when the Eagles' offense wasn't doing anything, they'd have punted the ball and pinned them deep. I think they would have won that game. So I think they should be 9-2, but they're not. That's their own fault. Some of it's the players, some of it's coaching, some of it's injuries. Had a couple unfortunate penalties called on us, but every team has that. So I'm not overly confident that they'll beat the Packers, but I'm still picking them anyway. They're 3-point favorites, which, the Lions were 14.5-point favorites against the Giants. So you can take the Vegas odds with a grain of salt. They're usually more accurate than that. But anyway, they're 3-point favorites, which means it's a pick 'em because you figure home field is worth 3 points. So I think it'll be close.
You got a score?
I do. 23-20, Lions.
All right. Well, and folks, again, we're two longtime fans, been watching Thanksgiving games since I'm sure I watched my first in the late 50s if we had a TV. To me, Thanksgiving always means Detroit Lions. And so it's a fun one. And Bill, like you, so I mentioned earlier, I think the Lions have kind of lost their mojo. I've kind of lost some confidence. So I'm going to predict we see a return of their mojo here on Thanksgiving Day. And as a result, they get a win. If we don't see that, we're not going to see a win. But I predict 21-20 in a close game, good defense. Our defense has to play better, and I think they will. And it's going to be
Okay.
fun seeing the Ford
So
Field.
you're predicting a 1-point victory.
21-20.
Well,
And you want
you ready? Are
23-20.
you ready for a same old Lions from Thanksgiving games?
I hope not. We've had too many of those.
Well, I'm going to give you one. This
Oh,
was
I'm sorry. I thought you meant we're going to have a new one. No, give me one from the past.
this was a long time ago. I think it was about 1980. Lions are playing the Bears. Lions are ahead by a touchdown. The Bears have the ball. It's fourth down and goal from about the 5-yard line. And the quarterback scrambles around and runs it in for a touchdown to tie the game. The Bears win the toss. They take the ball and they run the kickoff back for a touchdown. So in a space of two plays, and what I remember is, we're sitting in our basement in Garden City, Michigan. I'm sitting on the couch with my dad, my Uncle David, my Uncle Charlie, and we're watching that game together. And when the Bears kickoff return went for a touchdown, nobody said anything. We just all got up and walked upstairs to the Thanksgiving dinner, but nobody said a word. We were all pretty glum. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen. I'm hoping for a win, and I think it'll be close. But like you, I think this is almost a must-win game. I think they can go to the playoffs if they don't win it, but it'll be harder. 8-4 sounds pretty good. 7-5, not so much. So let's hope for the best here.
Yeah, Bill, and I think it could, a Lions win could end up leading us toward a showdown, the last game of the season at Soldier Field. That could be very exciting as the Bears continue to win. However, the Bears have a gauntlet coming up. They play the Eagles, they play the Packers twice, and not sure who else, but Anyhow, right now we got to take care of business on Thanksgiving Day. And you shared that same old lion story. And as you're sharing that, I'm feeling good knowing that we haven't had a same old Lions game experience, I would say, since Campbell took over. I mean, that first year they lost games, but they showed grit, they showed progress, and they didn't have the kind of game where, like you said, your basement's so excited because the Lions score, they're going to win, and literally one play later, it's like, well, let's go eat. I mean, we haven't
Right.
had that, and it's so refreshing. What we have done is done that to teams. Kind of did
Right.
that to Giants. I mean, think of being a Giants fan right now, and they're saying, there's another game. There's no way we should have lost that. There's n
Yeah.
and you mentioned we should be 9-2. Well, based on yesterday, let's adjust. We should be 8-3, because we had no business winning that game. But we feel like we had no business losing to the Vikings. So it all tends to even out that way.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the Bears' schedule. They got Eagles, Packers, Browns. The Browns can beat you.
Yeah. Especially now
Eagles,
with Sanders, because it's a wild card.
yeah. Eagles, Packers, Browns, Packers, 49ers at 49ers, and then ending with the Lions. So that is a gauntlet. I'm hoping they lose at least three or four of those. Kind of mixed feelings about playing the Packers. Depends on what we do on Sunday or Thursday.
Yeah. And
Well,
by the way,
John, I hope
one
you have
more.
a great Thanksgiving.
Hey, Bill, just one more thing you mentioned on Thursday. I mean, today's Monday. They're playing in 3 days. And so obviously the Packers and Lions both played yesterday. It's a very short week. Knock on wood, the Lions seem to have come out of yesterday's games with no real injuries, no additional players out. Packers, I think, got banged up a little bit. So it's, this short week for both teams, it's going to be interesting. And I think coaching is going to be a huge part of this game coming up for that reason. So I
They
know.
got two Thursday games in a row. They got this week against the Packers and the following Thursday against the Cowboys.
Yep, at home again. So,
Yeah.
hey, I know you're traveling for Thanksgiving. I'm not, but we're hosting a bunch of people. We will be watching the game. I don't know, folks, when we'll be doing the podcast. Maybe the day after. It might be the following week, most likely, as we prepare for the Cowboys coming in. But you guys have a great Thanksgiving trip, my friend. Go Lions.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye for
Bye.
now.